Amen. Good to have you in the service tonight. I wonder if you have a quick word of testimony that you would like to share as we open the service tonight. Somebody with a quick word of testimony. Brother Joe? Yep, still good opportunity, and continue to pray for Joe and Sue on that opportunity this coming Friday night. Somebody else with a good word of testimony tonight that you would like to share before we open our service in prayer? Brother Bob? Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Bob, staying away from junk. That's good. Praise God, and making steps in that area. Praise the Lord. Somebody back here. Esther.
I'm just thankful. God is so good, and I'm thankful for this. Working on the bus, I got to Virginia, and that got to make it almost the same. Long story short, we got to have a Bible study yesterday, and after a long explanation, we got saved, and it was just incredible.
Amen.
He answered prayer on so many levels, and I mean, she was just so full of crying after she prayed, and she was just like, "I want to tell everybody about it."
Amen.
And anyway, really excited to be able to discipleship and just.
Amen. Amen. Is John in that home?
Yes.
Okay, so I met John at the closing program, and John just came over here from Kenya for like 2 months, and really, really exciting to meet these people and to get the gospel to them, right? We have no idea where that's going to lead in this young lady's life. Be praying. There's a couple of discipleships that we're trying to set up now that some people have been saved through the VBS. And so pray that we can get those set up and that those meetings can continue and people can grow in their faith. That's very, very vital, especially in the early days of their faith. Somebody else with a testimony tonight? Anybody else? Back here again. Martha? Amen. Direct answers to prayer. Thankful for direct answers to prayer. Brother Scott? Yeah. Yep. Amen. 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 Faith that brings peace. I was talking to Will Burrell after the service this morning about his mother. We were in my office. And he was sharing me. He said, "Preacher, we just go in and we pray together and we sing together." And he says, "I don't think the people in the hospital can understand the peace that we have." And I said, "Well," I said, "when you're praying and you're singing, your eyes are stayed upon Him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee." Scott's talking about, here's the doctor's report, but my mind and my eyes are on God, and I'm thankful for the peace, right? And God gives peace when we keep our eyes on Him. I want to thank the Lord. This week, the Lord revealed Himself afresh to me in a number of ways. I was using the journal that we gave out at the beginning of the year, and I was writing what to praise the Lord for from my reading and from my study this week, and it was one thing right after another, about 8 or 9 things about the Lord that God just personalized in my life. And I just want to praise Him for speaking to me and revealing Himself to me like that in the Word. Somebody else with a testimony tonight? Anybody else with a testimony? Behind me. Hey, couple. Okay, Sharon and then Karen.
I was reading in Jeremiah. The reason was because they were disobedient, they worshiped idols. He called them adulterous. And then later on, when he was talking about bringing them back, he called them his virgin daughter. And I just thought, you know, all of us have a pretty wicked past, and that can all be erased.
Amen. Thank the Lord. He erases sins and reputations, right? Thank the Lord for his power. Karen, go ahead.
I want to pray to the Lord that I was also reading Maya how the Lord of hosts, I also thought attribute in there, Lord is righteous. And I also saw an observation that I read in Jeremiah 4 and Jeremiah 9, where I thought, and I knew the history of Israel and Judah, and I had always thought God was more favorable to the remnant that was not taken into captivity. And those that were taken into captivity, oh, God was coming. But as I was reading Jeremiah, it was the other way around, because God even told through the prophet, he said, I will bring these people back.
Yep.
I will care for them. It was almost like a mother hen with her chick. And the remnant that was still in the land, he said, I will punish them. They will die by the sword, the famine, and one other thing that I read, and I thought, wow, this is not the way I originally thought it was. But I thought, wow. And I saw this phrase, too, where God said, I took them away captive for my own good.
Yep.
I thought, wow.
Yeah. Well, Karen's getting a lot of nuggets, isn't she? Out of Jeremiah, praise the Lord for people studying the Word of God. I love to hear testimonies about the Word of God. Stand with me tonight. It's good to have Jack and Diana Leonard in the service with us tonight. Good to have you folks back in the service. God bless you. And let's open our service in a word of prayer this evening. And let me ask, let's see, Bob Fry, would you open us in prayer tonight? Amen. Take your songbooks. Let's sing together.
Hymn number 51, Blessed Assurance. We'll sing all three stanzas of hymn number 51. This is my story. Please remain standing for prayer. Brother Gary, would you pray over our offering, please?
Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity to come to worship. Lord, we're thankful for the service we have this morning. Family, really, Lord. Family is important to us, but Almighty God is powerful. Lord, I pray for the service tonight, Lord. I pray for one here that doesn't know Christ, Lord, they come to know Him tonight. Lord, bless this offering. Bless those gifting givers.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
Would you stand with me, please? Turn to hymn number 238. Hymn number 238, I Must Tell Jesus. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn number 238. Seated.
Thank you.
Take your Bibles now. Turn to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. When you found Revelation chapter 22, stand with me, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read all 21 verses, not long. You follow along as I read Revelation chapter 22. The Bible says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must be shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come.
Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this evening, and Lord, as we read these words in the last chapter of your word, Lord, we know that we have the victory through Jesus Christ. We know you are completely victorious, completely, totally powerful, Lord, overcoming all evil. And Lord, you have given to us, Lord, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And Lord, we can overcome evil, Lord, by submitting ourselves to you and yielding ourselves to you. Father, I thank you for these words, Lord, in the last chapter of Revelation. Thank you, Lord, for Thank you that you are the great and mighty God, that you are Alpha and Omega, Lord, the beginning and the end. And Father, we just praise you for these words. Lord, I pray you'd be with our pastor now as he brings us the message that you want him to bring to us. And again, I ask that you would help us to listen intently, Lord, that we would put all things out of our mind, that we would focus on your word tonight. Lord, I ask that you would be glorified. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, well, well. January of 2023 is when I started the book of Revelation. And so we've taken some breaks, right? And we are at the last chapter tonight. One of my goals as a preacher is to preach through books. And so that you not only get a variety of topical messages and teachings, but you also get to work through some books. We've done that, try to do a book every year, at least one book that we're preaching through. And so we're finishing up on the book of Revelation. Thank you for being patient with me in the study. I trust that you've learned a lot, and we finish tonight in chapter number 22. The book of Revelation begins with the following words, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in this last chapter, it is chucked full of Christ's revelation of himself. Revelation means unveiling, doesn't it? We've learned that in this series of teachings, that God is unveiling some things. In chapters 21 and 22, he forms a beautiful picture of the new Jerusalem that's coming down out of heaven, and we learned he makes all things new. I'm so thankful that God has a new heaven and a new earth prepared for you and me, and a new Jerusalem and new promises and new communion with God himself. In the future, everything is going to be made new. As we learn more about the new Jerusalem, we know it will have a pure river of life, the Bible speaks about at the beginning of chapter 22, proceeding out of the throne of God, pure river of life, pointing to the absolute purity of God himself that will have this river flowing in heaven. There'll be a tree of life in the midst of the street of heaven, which will yield 12 varieties of fruit. I was telling Connie Peters this morning that my girls found this treat on vacation called a crepe, right? Is that how you say it? Crepe or creep? I think it's crepe. Crepe. And they came home and they said, Dad, we need to try that place out. So we saved it up for one of the nights after we ate dinner back at the condo. We went out for dessert and we got these crepes, right? And these crepes were full of fruit. At least mine was. I mean, I had raspberries, I had blackberries, I had bananas, I had mango. And this thing's like an ice cream cone. It's got kind of like a pancake texture to it. And then yogurt and Nutella. And I am taking it all in, this crepe, right? Well, in heaven, all the fruits, 12 different fruits, are going to be there for your picking at the in the New Jerusalem. What a wonderful, wonderful picture there. There's no curse there. There's no night there. There's no peril there because there's no sin. There's nothing that is a danger to your soul. Ha! Huh. That will be unique because every day you and I live with dangers to our soul, right? Our soul's always, constantly threatened. And so the theme of tonight's message is mentioned three times in chapter 22. It's entitled, I Come Quickly. I Come Quickly. I want you to see a number of things about the revelation of Jesus Christ in coming quickly tonight. First of all, I want you to see the reliability of Christ's words. As we look at the revelation of Jesus Christ tonight, I want you to look at the reliability of Christ's words. Look at verse number 6, if you will. Verse number 6. And he saith unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. When Jesus Christ reveals himself, he reveals at the very end of the book, as he does at the very beginning of Revelation, that he's faithful and true. Or in other words, let me just put a nail in this coffin, Jesus is saying. Everything that you've just read is completely reliable. There's to be no question about it. There's to be no doubt about it. You should have complete faith in what's going to happen in the future, because these are the words of the faithful and true one. When he reveals himself as faithful and true. I'm so thankful I don't have to worry about the future. I'm so thankful Jesus decided to write these things down for us so that we would know exactly what would happen. The revelation of Jesus Christ means the reliability of Christ's words. But secondly, it means the reservation for worship, the reservation for worship. John gets caught in this revelation that, man, lots of things are being unveiled, and some of them are coming through angels, and John is so awed by what they're bringing to him that he's tempted to bow down and worship the angel. Now, this happens multiple times in the book of Revelation, but it happens here in chapter number 22. Look at verse number 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Worship God. He was ready to worship a creature, an angel. And the angel stopped him in his tracks and said, see that you don't do that, but instead you worship God. You know, part of our world's problem is that we're not worshiping God. We're not acknowledging God. We're not exalting God. That when they knew him, they worshiped him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, and they served and worshiped the creature more than they did the Creator. You know, there is a temptation. Listen, John was a godly man. John was in touch with God as he's writing these words, but John was even threatened with the temptation or deception to fall down and worship the angel, and the angel stopped him and said, don't do that. Worship God. Exalt God. Don't worship man. Worship God. When we read about the unveiling of Jesus Christ, we read that all worship is reserved for him. Worship means to fall in reverence to. It means to take a position of humility. I don't think everything's carved out that we always have to pray and fall on our knees, but I don't think it's bad to fall on our knees before God. I don't think it's bad for us in our posture of worship to fall before God and look up to God. It's not about posture, it's more about heart, but the word means to fall in reverence to. I don't think that we ought to treat God with casual names. I don't think we ought to try to diminish God. I don't think we ought to question any of God's immutable character qualities, for they're all with Him and they will ever be with Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We should worship Him as such. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It needs to come from my heart, but it needs to be based upon truth. When I respond to God's word, I respond in thanksgiving, or I respond in confession, or I respond in appreciation, or I respond in yielding to God's truth. What I'm doing is I'm worshiping God. I'm exalting God in my life. Jesus is reserved for that. No human creature. There's a big battle over worship today. There always has been. Historically speaking, there's always been a battle over worship. May I remind you in your life to give worship and worship alone to God. Keep God on the pedestal and nobody else. Be careful about idolatry in your life and setting up idols that you give all your attention and all your effort and all your energy to in your life, and then God gets moved down the ladder. Worship God. Thirdly, we learn something else about Jesus as He reveals Himself in this passage. We learn the reliability of Christ's words. We learn the reservation for worship. And then thirdly, we learn the rewards of Christ. The rewards of Christ. Look at verse number 12, if you will. Revelation chapter 22. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. When I was growing up, my dad was an inspector of schools for ACE. And there were a couple times that he had to go out of town for that. And I think he flew to Dallas, Texas. I think that might be where one of the places that he flew. And dad would always talk to the kids before he left and encourage us to be good, and that he'd come home and he'd have something that he got us when we got home, if we were good. He was picturing the Lord Jesus. Jesus is a rewarder. We find in Scripture, my reward is with me. I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Dad would come home, and the kids would all be excited. What did Dad give us? Right? And did you behave, and we're hoping that Mom didn't tell the truth, right? Yeah, but Dad would give us what he got for us while he was away, rewarding us for good behavior. You know, the Bible says He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. One thing Jesus unveils about Himself in the last chapter of the Bible is that He's a rewarder. Hey, Christian, you weary? Tired? You frustrated? Can I remind you? Jesus is coming quickly. And He's coming, and His rewards will be with Him, the Bible says. He's a rewarder. Fourthly, we see the eternality of Christ. And I'm sorry I lost my, for those of you that are, what do you call that? Alliterated? I just gave up my alliteration. I'm not going to spend much time on this, but look at verse number 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now think about this for the churches that He's writing to, persecuted believers. He's already told them, I'm faithful and true. And by the way, when you die, or I come quickly, I will always be there. I'm eternal. I'm never going to show up where Jesus is not. As a believer, He will never leave me nor forsake me, and He's Alpha and Omega. And I know Pastor Todd preached a good message on Wednesday night on the eternality of God, but it's brought forth here again in verse number 13. I'm Alpha and Omega. What else do we see about Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ? We see the reassurance of Christ. Look at verse number 10, if you will, Revelation 22. and verse number 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. To seal the prophecy would be to keep us in the dark. God didn't want that to happen. God told John, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, was there a portion in the Bible, in the book, that John was told to seal up? Yes, there was. Remember, back to the 28 judgments, and there were seven of those judgments that God told John, don't even record those. But the rest of the prophecy of the book, he said, I want my people to know that. I want them to be reassured. Now watch this. What do we get from the prophecy of Revelation? We get God's in control. That's what we get. We get God is going to deal with wicked and wickedness. We get that God is going to take his own with him forever, and we're going to miss out on the tribulation. We get the goodness of God. We get the mercy of God. This is all reassuring. The book of this prophecy is reassuring to us all that Jesus is and all that he has in control and all of the plans that are going to come through just like Jesus said. He said, don't seal that up. I want my people to know that. The time's at hand. I'm thankful for the book of Revelation. I hope you are tonight, and the reassurance of Christ. And then we learn also that he's the root of David. Look at Revelation chapter 22, verse number 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now meditate on this for a second. He's the root of David. That means David came from him. But he's the offspring of David. That means he came from David. Well, what are we getting here? We're getting the fact that the preexistence of Christ, that he preexisted before David ever was there. Jesus was there in the beginning, but he took on man, didn't he? And he became flesh for us to take flesh and to die. He became the offspring of David. And then he says, and I'm the bright and morning star. The bright and morning star announces dawn's soon arrival. Jesus Christ is saying, I'm coming. Just like the dawn is coming, I'm coming. I'm the morning star. Boy, there is wonderful truth. Jesus isn't leaving any base uncovered here. Jesus is saying, this book is all about me, and I am telling you, and I'm just summarizing it all in chapter 22. Let me just give you another boatload of who I am and what I've done for you. Praise God. Praise God that I know Jesus. As I knock the mic over. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the role of believers in the New Jerusalem. As we look at I Come Quickly, the role of believers in the New Jerusalem. Look at verse number 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. The devil has no power there. He cannot distract God's servants from serving him. Boy, that can happen here, can it? Anybody ever get distracted? Distracted off the main things, the important things of life? But not in heaven. We'll have a single purpose, and we'll have nobody distracting. We will be servants dedicated unto him. We cannot be disturbed. There'll be no light night. There'll be no affliction. There'll be no dejection. There'll be no pause in service or enjoyment. There'll be no pleasures of man that will take us away from serving God. We will be servants, and we shall serve him in verse number 3. Did you know that in the New Jerusalem, we will be identified as his people in our foreheads? You won't have any guesswork as to saying, I wonder if he's in Christ or out of Christ. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 4. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Who's that? His servants. His servants will have the names, his name in their forehead. We will be easily identifiable in the New Jerusalem, and they will reign forever and ever. Kind of takes me back to the Hallelujah chorus, where he shall reign forever and ever. But the Bible says, they shall reign. Do you see it in verse number 5? And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We will serve God by reigning with him forever and ever and ever and ever. That's the role. That's the role of a believer in the New Jerusalem. Thirdly, let's look at the repetition of I come quickly. Look at verse number 7, first time it's mentioned in chapter 22. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. The Bible's not saying here that he's coming quickly in the sense that he was going to come the next year to those people. But what it's saying is when he comes, he's going to come with lightning speed. In other words, he's going to come in the twinkling of an eye, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. It's not going to be a process. It's going to be an instant when Jesus Christ comes back in the clouds. It will be too quick for last-minute repentance. That's the warning. Quickly. So I'll just wait till right before Jesus comes. You're a fool to think that. Jesus is coming quickly. When he comes in the twinkling of an eye, my friend, it'll be too late. As fast as you can blink your eye, people are going to be out of here. He comes quickly. It'll be over before you have a chance to think. If you are not ready for Jesus Christ to come, then my friend, you better get ready now. You better get ready tonight. You better not play, as my father preached a message a number of years ago, Russian roulette on Russian roulette. You better not play that game with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he announces and he warns in the last chapter of the Bible, I come quickly. Three times he says it in this last chapter. Look at verse 12. And behold, I come quickly again, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And look at verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely, or bank on it, or you could take it to the bank, full assurance here, I come quickly. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The day is approaching. The time is at hand. Can I say this? What you're going to do for Christ, you better do now. Young people, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He's coming quickly. The time's at hand. If you're going to serve God, don't put it off. Don't think when I get to a certain age, then I'll dedicate my life to God. Dedicate your life to God right now. I come quickly, he says. And then look at this with me, the reality of mankind on earth today. Look at verse 11, Revelation 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Wait a second, New Jerusalem, there's not going to be anybody unjust. All the unjust are going to be in the lake of fire. And all the just or the righteous are going to be in the New Jerusalem forever and ever. So is he talking about eternity? No, he's talking about what's on earth at the time that he writes. And he says, if somebody's unjust, let him be unjust still. This is the reality of mankind. Men are fine being unrighteous. They're ignorant. They don't know. He says in this passage, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. If you can think of it in this context, Jesus has just poured out all of what's going to happen from the tribulation all the way to the end. And you would think in that body of truth in the book of Revelation that somebody that's filthy or somebody that's unjust would read that, be overcome with fear of God's judgment, and be saved. But what he says is this, the reality of man is they could read this book, they could know these things and still remain in their condition. They could still be unjust. They could still be filthy. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. If you choose to be unjust after learning the book of Revelation, after hearing the warnings of God, then God says, let it be so. Let you stay that way. This book's a powerful book. It is meant to bring about change in people's lives. But Jesus knows the tendencies of mankind. And the tendencies of mankind is, not going to change me. That's what it is. That's what Christ is speaking about here. The Lord Jesus on the cross separated two thieves, just like there's a separate group here. There's the filthy and the unjust. And on the other side, there's the righteous and the holy. So on the cross, he had two separate thieves beside him. One said, he said, to thou shalt be with me in paradise because of his faith. And the other rejected Christ. He was unjust. He dealt with unjust on one side, and he dealt with one that he made righteous on this side. There's a division because of people's hearts. That's the division. And so one rejected him and is forever in hell. Look at verse 15. For the Bible says, for without are dogs and sorcerers or drug takers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whoso loveth and maketh a lie. This could be comparable to Revelation 21 verse 8, where it says, the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the liars, the adulterers, all of them shall have their part in the lake of fire. What he's saying is, there's a new Jerusalem. I planned it. It's going to be beautiful. It's perfect. It's wonderful. There's no curse there, but there are those that are without the new Jerusalem. Where are they at? They're in the lake of fire. See, there's a new Jerusalem and there's a lake of fire. There's no intermediary place. There's two groups. There's the just and the unjust. And here, the Bible names a number of sins. Dogs, known as filthy in the New Testament. Sorcerers, drug takers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whoso loveth and maketh a lie. Brethren, it reminds us once again that none of these are to be true of us. These are qualities of the unsaved. These are people that are known for these things, and they're going to be without the New Jerusalem. They're going to be in the lake of fire. But it is horrible for Christians to be partakers of these sins that the Bible names as and identifies these people as being fit for the lake of fire. It will be terrible enough for the lost to be in torment in the lake of fire, but their agonies will be intensified by the knowledge that they are without. Oh, that is a horrible knowledge. You know the rich man, we know he had that knowledge, don't we? There's a great gulf fixed. Abraham, I can't get to you, and you can't get to me. Go tell your brethren. Go tell my brethren. Go tell them of what's taking place. He could see what he was living without. One of the greatest judgments of hell is to know that there's a new Jerusalem, and no night, no curse, no sorrow, trees, river of life, street of gold, perfect peace. And I wish I could be there, but I can't. He says they're without. Hearing all this, what are the responsibilities of believers today? Responsibilities of believers today as I finish out the message this evening. Number one, keep the sayings of the book. Keep the sayings of the book. Look at verse number 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. It means to treasure them. It means to prize them. It means to act upon them. It means to guard them, to preserve them intact. May I say tonight, we must not add to the Word of God or take anything away from the Word of God. We are to keep, we are to guard the prophecy. We are to guard the Word of God. And brethren, people that take a low view of Scripture and criticize the book, heavy on their head, according to this chapter.
We're to guard it. We're to hold it up. We're to exalt it. We're to keep people's confidence in it. I'm not standing up here, and I don't stand up as a preacher to correct the Word of God. And if I'm a corrector of the Word of God, then don't have me as a pastor. We're to guard the Word of God. We're to protect. We're to defend the Word of God. Keep, believer, keep the Word of God. And by the way, not just keep it by defending the inspiration and the inerrancy and the infallibility and the preservation, all the doctrines of the Word of God and our precious King James Bible, but listen to me, much more protect it by your living of your life. How you live your life is revealed as to how serious your children will take the words of God. If you hear it and don't live it, do you understand what your children will see? They won't want much to do with the book. So keep the sayings of the book. Keep the beliefs of the book. Keep the principles and the truths of this book. Number two, work for the Lord today. Look at verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Every man according as his work shall be. What is your work? Your work is to glorify God in all the different hats you wear in life. As a citizen, I need to glorify God. As a dad, I need to glorify God. As a husband, I need to glorify God. As a church member, I need to glorify God. As a pastor, I need to glorify God. As an electrician, as Brother Kenton was speaking this morning, Kenton can glorify God in his work and how he treats his customers and the quality of work that he does and his fairness and his honesty. You understand, we're to glorify God. That is our lives. Your life is to glorify God. That is your work. And he knows every man will receive their reward according to their work, according to how you glorify God in your life. You say, preacher, I can't be a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher to glorify God. You need to understand, wherever God's put you in life, your purpose, your life work is to bring God glory. That's our work. Work for the Lord today. Then look at verse number 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. I want you to understand something here, as we have in the book of James as well. Jesus is dealing with the fruits of your garments being washed, not the root here. He's not teaching a work salvation to get into the new Jerusalem. Doing his commandments is a result of being washed by the blood of the Lamb. Turn over in your Bibles, if you will, to Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, because there is a connection between these two verses. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Doing his commandments is simply a fruit. As we talked about this morning, obedience is a character quality. It is an evidence of a born-again believer. It is not what gets me to heaven. My garments have to be, I have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the scripture here teaches us that. And then look at the retribution for those who add or detract from the book. Verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Boy, we talk about how serious sin is, right? Sin's serious because, and we know because of the punishment connected to it. Well, adding to the book or taking away from the book is serious too, because we know the punishment that's attached to this. Unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. To tamper with or distort the word of God is to invite God's judgment into your life. The bottom line is clear. Believers love the word, but unbelievers despise the word. The Bible says, he that despiseth the word shall be destroyed in Proverbs. Believers obey the word. Unbelievers disobey the word. Believers receive the word. Unbelievers reject the word. What is your relationship to the word? What is your personal relationship to the word? And then I give you this as we end tonight, the final request. The final request. Verse 17. The Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. Boy, those are two great words in Scripture. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God ends the Bible with a very open invitation to come to Jesus. For Jesus is the water of life. By the way, when the church is inviting people to Jesus, they are in great cooperation with the Spirit. It is a healthy church that is saying, come and drink of the water freely. It is a church that is in tune with the Spirit, that God will open doors to invite and say, come to the water freely. I think of the children in Butte, Montana tonight, and I think of our team that's going out there. What are they going out there for? Oh, be an encouragement to the missionary. For sure, part of that. What's the other part? Come. Come and drink of the water of life freely. I think of people that'll be out handing out gospel tracts and cross puzzles and meeting people at the Red Lion Street Fair. What are we saying? Come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. What are we saying at a youth development center on Tuesday night? We're saying, as a bride, as the bride of Christ, as the local church, we're in cooperation with the Spirit of God. Come and drink of the water of life freely. What are Joe and Sue talking about on Friday night at this Christian Scouts? They're saying, come and drink of the water of life freely. My friend, that's the invitation. That's how Jesus ends his book. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Come drink of me, he says. So if you've gone through the book of Revelation and you've learned it here, but you haven't taken Christ as your Savior, and you haven't grown in your knowledge and your wonder of Christ as a believer, then you have missed the purposes of the book. The book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we get caught up in all the prophecies and the innuendos of the judgments and all of that, but the chief purpose of the book is to unveil Jesus to all of us, both those that are saved and those that are unsaved. Look at verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The Old Testament ends with a curse, Malachi. The New Testament ends with a benediction of grace upon believers. Jesus gives grace. To close tonight, some thoughtful questions for you. If you were asked by someone why the Bible can be trusted, don't you think you could take them to Revelation 22 and give them enough knowledge about Jesus Christ to say these are his words? He's the faithful and true one. He's the Alpha and the Omega. You can trust the Bible. What good things in your life are you tempted to turn to as objects of worship? What is rising in your life in importance to the degree that God is shrinking in importance? What is rising in your life that is becoming more and more, taking more of your time? And has it taken so much that your time with Christ has decreased. What is vying for your worship? That's a valid question because that is reserved for God. John told, don't seal it up. Make it known. The time is at hand. Christian, don't seal up the gospel. Don't leave the gospel on the shelf. Make it known. The time is at hand. He says, I come quickly. Your work on this earth is to glorify God. Glorify God at work. Glorify God at home. Glorify God in the church. Glorify God in the world. Point people to God. Let people know that there's a difference in your life, and Jesus has made that difference. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed tonight. What is your relationship to the Word? The Word. Obedient? Receiving of the Word? Love for the Word? Apathy toward the Word? Oh, God deals with the Word and our relationship to it in this passage. Jesus is coming quickly. Revelation is a motivation. Tremendous motivation for all of us tonight. Motivation to do what we're going to do now for God. Motivation to understand that I must glorify God. Motivation to get saved. Like, don't remain unjust. Turn to Christ tonight. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. The pianist plays quietly. I invite you, if you need to use an altar tonight, maybe you got a renewed view of Christ, His rewards, His reliability, His reassurance, His eternality. Maybe you need to fall on your knees tonight and just worship Christ for who He is. The angel said, see that you do it not to me. I'm just like you. Worship God. Stand with me if you would. I'd like to turn in our songbooks to hymn number 611. Hymn number 611, Take My Life and Let It Be. We'll sing the first verse tonight as we close our service. Take my all those going on the missions trip, if you're going or you're a family member of somebody that's going, I would like the families to come forward too. Everybody stand up here. We're going to have a prayer of dedication and protection tonight for this group that God wants to use out in Montana. They are leaving Tuesday. And with that, a couple flights, connections, all of those things to get in to Butte or just outside Butte. And then to canvas a day or two, and then to begin the VBS. And they'll be plugged in different ways to be able to work with the children, work with our missionary out there. We're thrilled at this opportunity. And I want to just speak to our young people and our leaders. Remember that you're representing the Lord first and foremost. You're representing the Lord on the airplane and in the gates waiting
You're representing the Lord to the children and the missionaries' children. You're representing our church. And that has a weight with it. And just, I encourage you, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example, right? Be thou an example. What a wonderful opportunity for you to be an example as you travel. We're excited about what God is going to do out there. We're excited to be able to send a group like this out from our church. But we need to bathe it in prayer, because Brother Mark taught us this morning, without him, we can do nothing. So we're dependent upon the Lord, and we want to confess that dependence to him tonight. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for, Lord, opportunities. And Lord, through our local church, there are opportunities that abound for touching other lives. Lord, I want to thank you for the young people that are going, Lord, that have shown desire, Lord, have been in meetings and been in preparation for this coming week. And Lord, I know, Lord, for many of them, it's a step out of their comfort zone. And Lord, that can be difficult. I pray that you will give them courage and you will give them strength. Lord, I pray that as they travel, Lord, you would allow the connections to be made. Pray, Lord, that you would preserve this group from facing any illness while they're traveling or sickness. God, we pray that you would protect them in the flights and on the roads. Lord, this is precious cargo to us. All of these people are precious cargo to these families. And God, we don't just, Lord, we don't take for granted protection. So, Lord, we pray the vehicle will run well. And Lord, we pray they'll work together as a team. Lord, there'll be distractions. And I pray, Lord, that you would not allow those distractions to get a hold of any hearts or minds. There'll be opportunities, Lord, to, Lord, maybe have a point of friction. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't do that. There'll be opportunities to have our minds on the wrong things and, Lord, our affections in the wrong places. And I pray against all of that, Lord. I pray that you will ignite, Lord, this group. I pray, Lord, that as they're praying, Lord, tonight and tomorrow, God, that you'll deepen a burden, Lord, in their soul to reach somebody for Jesus, Lord. I pray that you'll use them. I pray they'll come back. Lord, they'll be able to testify of seeing your hand at work in their lives and through their lives. Lord, we want you to get glory in this trip. Thank you for our sponsors, Lord. I pray for the Speckhouse children as they'll be back here, that you'll take care of their needs. And Lord, I pray for Jared and Beth Lee. Lord, I pray for Lord, their little one, that you will protect them and, Lord, allow them to have a great week together. Lord, we dedicate this trip to you. We need you, God. We're dependent upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless each of you. You can go back to your seats tonight. I'll have Pastor Todd share some closing announcements. I do want to say, when you preach through a series like what I've done, you consult sources. And I just want to thank the Lord that in our day, there are a number of good sources that I have been able to refer to and study from, and people that hold right and pure doctrine and take time to explain it. And it has been a blessing to my soul in the study. And one of those is my father, who wrote his booklet on Revelation. I thank Dad for his studies and been enriching in my life as I've read that as part of my study. All right, closing announcements, and then we're dismissed.
All right, don't forget Bible Assembly tomorrow, regular time, down in the annex. And then also one last plug, at least from us, my wife and boys, we're going to be taking a little trip Monday through Friday. Just get a little get away a little bit. So one last plug from me for the Red Lion Street Fair. If you can come out and help with that, sign up in the foyer notebook or just come out and say hi. But again, great time to get the gospel out, great time of fellowship. So I would encourage you, if you can give some time to that this coming Saturday, that would be great. And then don't forget the servants list. We're going to vote on that at the members meeting, not this Wednesday night, but Wednesday night the 14th. Please don't forget about that. And then all of the other printed announcements, don't forget we do have a baptismal coming up a week from this Sunday. So if you're a baptismal candidate, you need to see Brad Peters. And then of course the men and boys campouts coming in about a month, and so there's some details in there, and there's a sign up sheet in the foyer notebook. So please be aware of that. For the teen missions trip, if you're going on the teen missions trip, Tuesday morning, the bus departs at 6:30. All right, what does that mean? What's that mean? That means you're here at 6:15, ready to go, okay? So the bus departs at 6:30, so half the day is over by that time anyway. So so be here by 6:15, ready to go on Tuesday morning for the teen missions trip. And do be praying for them, for their safety with all the flights and all of that. Are there any other last-minute announcements before we're dismissed? All right. Jeremy Mulrooney, would you please dismiss us in prayer?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home. A quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.